I've walked against the water. Now I'm waiting if you please. We've longed to see the roses, but never felt the thorn. And bought our pretty crown, but never paid the price. Find me in the river, find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river. I'm waiting here for you. We didn't count on suffering. We didn't count on pain. If there's blessings in the valley, in the river I will wait.
Find me in the river, find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river. Find me in the river, find me there. Find me on my knees with my soul laid bare. Even though you're gone and I'm cracked and dry, find me in the river. I'm waiting here for you. I'm waiting here for you. I'm waiting here for you.
This morning, I'd like to talk to you about fruit. You know, the last few weeks I've been sharing about the fruits of the Spirit and how we should display the fruits of the Spirit, because that's what, when the Holy Spirit lives in you, then those fruits come out, right? You have the Holy Spirit, when He lives in you and you're walking by the Spirit and you're led by the Spirit, you'll display these fruits. Now, we realize that we're not perfect. We're all sinners saved by grace, right? Amen? But we have a powerful God who has saved us. And He's also equipped us and enabled us to not sin also as well. He's gave us the strength, okay? But without Him, we could not do it. And we have to remember that. It is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. It's nothing that we can do, because we're weak vessels. We're flesh. And so we have to rely on the Holy Spirit, because if we don't, we'll fail. And so we put our trust, our hope, our faith, we have to focus on being led by the Spirit. That's what we have to do every day. You know, and the Bible talks about being fruit bearers also. You know, we have the fruits of the Spirit, but you know, this word fruit is used in many, many times to describe different things. And when we look at the Scripture in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, if you have your Bibles and you want to read along with me, you can. It says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you help me today. Lord, give me what equip me this morning, Lord, to say, to speak. Lord, you know what you want to say, but Lord, I'm just your vessel. I'm just your servant. So Lord, speak through me today. Clear my mind. Lord, clear all of our minds today. Open up our hearts that we may receive you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we also can find this in the book of Luke. And in both of them, they show an important effect for believers. It seems that, you know, we're not to judge others. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I don't want to get confused here. That it is impossible to be fruit inspectors for other people's lives. You ever think that? Sometimes we go around and we want to inspect everybody else. You know, we want to tell everybody else. We want to show everybody else or reveal everybody else's flaws. And we're really good at that. We're fruit inspectors, you know. And, you know, the truth is we are expected to kind of do both. You know, we don't want to judge other people, but yet we have to be judged. We have to judge in a certain manner. So we're expected to do both, but we have to do it correctly. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The Lord gives us a guideline on how that is to be done and what motivates, you know, and what motivates is we should be doing it, okay? We don't like to be corrected. None of us like to be corrected. We don't like for somebody to say that we've done something wrong, especially in the church, because people really get offended and they're touchy about being corrected. And church discipline is even tougher, right? When there's things that go on in the church. And Paul had to deal with that into the Corinthian church. When you read about all the things that he had to deal with and talk to them about, and the exchanges of words that went back and forth, you know, with letters written to him, and he would respond back. But he said, you know, in 2 Corinthians, really all he wanted was to be, for those people that were doing wrong, was for them to be restored back to the church. That was his heart. He loved them enough. He wanted them to be better, really. That's what he wanted them to be. He didn't want them to do the things that they were doing. He didn't want them to sleep around and to do all these other things that they were doing, and that's what they were doing. And I'm talking not just worldly people. I'm talking about members in the church. That's a shock, isn't it? But that's what this church was going through, and Paul is like, oh, man, he can, you know, when I come, I hope I can find every one of you repented. Because I don't want to come and find you not repented and you're still doing the same things that you were doing. I don't want to come like that. Well, see, Jesus is talking here about this bearing fruit. God tells us not to judge others, you know, but yet we also have to see certain things and judge others by the fruits that they bear. So when I talked here a while back about being authentic, the things that we do, the things that we say, how we communicate with people outside the church and even inside the church is so important, because everybody judges you on how you act and what you say and what you do. And that's how they know you. And guess what? That's how they know if Christ really lives in you. Because if you're bearing the fruits of the Spirit, guess what? People see that in you, and they know that you're a follower of Christ because you bear good fruit. Amen? You bear good fruit. People are attracted to that. They like that. You're authentic. You're doing what you say you're going to do according to the Scripture. I think we need fruit bearers. We need authentic Christians in our churches today. We need people who are what they say they are, not people who are sheep in wolves' clothing. Or the other way around. Wolves in sheep's clothing. I'm sorry. Whatever. They hide out. They hide out. You know, he tells us not to judge others by our standards and by our ways. See, that's important. He tells us if we get this wrong, that we will be judged, condemned by the same measure that we dish it out to other people. So we have to be careful. He tells us as Christians that we should bear fruit, and that don't mean some of us. It don't mean just the pastor. It doesn't mean just the board members. It means all of us if you're a believer in Jesus. You bear fruit. You not only bear the fruits of the Spirit, but you also bear fruit. In other words, you make new disciples too. Amen? You make new disciples. You witness to people, okay? That shows your maturity. If you're not bearing fruit, then you're either not mature or you're dead. Sorry. If that was a shock. But I'm just telling you the words of Jesus. Okay? And sometimes the word is shocking to some people because they're like, oh, really? I have to do something? It's like, well, you know, the Bible tells us that not everyone who says to me, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. That is, you know, that's some pretty deep stuff. That's some pretty shocking news sometimes for a lot of people because, you know, we can't, you know, Jesus died for us on a cross and he allowed us, he gave us grace, right? I mean, he shed blood. He allowed us an opportunity to get to heaven when we wasn't going to make it. There's no way. We weren't able to do it without him. But, you know, there's some churches out there, and I don't go around bashing churches, and don't get me wrong, but some denominations, they believe in a universalist view of things. They believe that everyone's going to heaven. Everyone is going to heaven. And so, but we don't believe that way. We don't believe, because why? Because the Scripture tells us that not everyone's going to heaven. It's what the Bible says. It's not what Randy says. Randy only says it because it's what the Bible says. And I have to preach the truth, right? I have to preach the gospel. So I have to tell you guys that not everyone is going to go to heaven. I wish it was differently, but it's not. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14 says, Jesus says this. He says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Amen? Amen? Only a few find it. All roads don't lead to God. All roads don't lead to heaven. And according to Jesus, there is a right way and a wrong way in your spiritual life. We have to remember that. There is always a right and wrong way. It's your way will lead you to destruction, and Jesus' way will lead you to eternal life. Amen? Amen? You know, that's not that popular. It's not popular to hear a message like this today because people want to believe that the other view. The other view says that everybody's going to heaven. If I'm a good person and I do good things, and I go to church, and I pay my tithes, and I can even teach Sunday school, if I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. But it's not like that. Your spiritual life has to match the rest of your life. What you bear, what fruit comes out of you has to match. So it's about what is inside of you. And now I hope that each and every one of you have the Holy Spirit living within you. The Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the important key. You know, heaven's not designed for everyone. It is only for those who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what heaven was designed for. Only for those who love Jesus. And if you don't love Jesus here, If you're not serving Him here, what do you expect to serve Him when you get to heaven too? Yeah, I mean, if you love Jesus, you're going to serve Him here just like you will in heaven, right? You know, the prayer is like, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, you know, He's saying, listen, your life here on earth should be preparation time for what's going to happen in heaven. When you're worshiping, you know, when we come together as a body of Christ, our focus should be on worshiping God. Because that's what it's going to be like in heaven. Our focus is going to be on Jesus Christ. Our worship is going to be, you know, He is the center, and I've been preaching that. Jesus is the center. He's the center here on earth of the church. Everything that we do should focus around Him. It revolves around Him. Everything. Our workplace, our jobs, everything that we do in life, it's still centers. It's all focused and centered around Jesus Christ. That's we as a church. You know, if you can't stand corporate worship, what makes you think that you'll fit in heaven where worship is every day and for eternity? Amen? If you cannot get along with the body of Christ once a week, what makes you think you can get along with the body of Christ forever in eternity? See, we have these issues. Why? Because we're fleshly people, right? That's why it's so important that we are led by the Spirit and we live by the Spirit, we walk by the Spirit, we stay focused on Jesus Christ every day of our life. We have to. Why? Because it pulls us away. It pulls us away. God's Word tells us not to judge each other by our standards, but God's Word also tells us that we should not be taken in by false prophets and wolves wearing sheep's clothing and that will deceive us and cause us to stumble. That's my point. We have to be careful. Why? So we're not led astray. So we're not deceived. So we're not pulled away from what we're supposed to be doing. Why? Because that's what Satan wants to do. Satan wants to, he wants to be like God so much that he's so close to being like God, but yet he's not. Does that make sense? He wants to mimic Him, but yet he will deceive you every time. You know, the only way that we can do this, the only way that we can make it, the only way is by looking at people's lives and making sure it lines up with God's Word. That's why when I talked earlier about being authentic, being who we say we are, people watch us to see who we are. If we're doing the same things that everybody else is doing, what makes us any different? That's not being authentic. That's not being a Christian. That's not being a follower of Christ. That's not displaying the fruit. You know, but it's tough. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to judge other people. You know, how do we do this? You know, we've all heard someone say, "Don't judge me. You don't know me. You've not been where I've been. You've not walked in my shoes." The Lord tells us to love people the opposite way that the world loves people. We have different habits than others. We have different habits than others that don't know Christ, right? Amen. We don't do the same things they do. We show kindness to people. Woo! Amen? Amen. We love our neighbors. Yes. Like ourselves. You know, if we look at our own lives, we won't be judging other people. And you've heard about taking the plank out of your own eye. before you pull a speck out of somebody else's eye. And sometimes if we don't get that plank out of our eye, we can't see clearly. It blurs our vision, see, of the truth. There's people that hurt. There's a lot of people that are hurting out there, and they don't need somebody telling them how wrong they are all the time, but they just need somebody to show them the love of Christ and how much God loves them and how much He wants to bring them into a right relationship and how much He wants them to be in heaven with Him for eternity. That's what he wants. That's bearing fruit. Amen? How do we do that? We'd be like Jesus. How was Jesus? He bore fruit. He loved people. He was kind to people. Yet he knew the false prophets. He was aware of that. And he said some pretty bold things at times, stern things at times. In a small town, a prosecuting attorney called his first witness to stand in trial, an elderly woman. He approached her and asked, "Mrs. Jones, do you know me?" And she responded, "Why, yes, I do know you, Mr. Williams. I've known you since you were a young boy, and frankly, you've been a disappointment to me. You lie and you cheat. You cheat on your wife and you manipulate people and talk about them behind their backs. You think you're a big shot when you haven't the brains to realize you would never amount to anything more than a two-bit paper-pushing lawyer." "Yes, I know you," she said. The lawyer was stunned, shocked. Not knowing what else to do, he pointed across the room and asked Mrs. Williams, "Do you know the defense attorney?" And she replied, "Well, yes, I do. I've known Mr. Bradley since he was a youngster, and I used to babysit him for his parents, and he too has been a real disappointment to me. He's lazy, he's bigoted, and he has a drinking problem. The man can't build a normal relationship with anyone, and his law practice is one of the most corrupt and dishonest in the entire state. Yes, I know him." And at this point, the judge rapped his gavel on the bench to silence the crowd, and he called both counselors to the front, to the bench. And in a very quiet voice, he said, "If either of you ask her if she knows me, I'll put you in jail for contempt." You know, this judgment, you know, we have to be careful about what we say. You know, here's somebody judging this lady, you know, and she's like, "Hey, I know who you guys really are." You know, stronger faith brings less judgment and less of a critical spirit, and that's for sure. And when we worry about ourselves and our walk, we will correct our faults before we condemn others. We have to always look at ourselves before we could ever condemn somebody else. And let me tell you, in this world today, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard because, you know, everywhere we go, there's corruption. Everywhere we look, there's temptation. Always. When we have a clear vision, when that plank is gone, we will do things that the Lord wants us to do. Amen? That's the thing. When we pull that plank out of our eye and we start focusing on what we're getting our life right, and making sure our walk is good, all that other stuff, we'll see clearer. We'll see what Jesus wants us to do. Are you judging others in your life today? Jesus says that you will lead, or you will be judged the same upon the same measure that you judge someone else. if you don't. That's tough, ain't it? So be careful with that. You know, none of us, when we were put against Christ, have arrived yet. There ain't none of us here arrived yet. Some of us are on different stages of our walk. Some of us are at different stages of maturity. You know, I know people that's been in the church for 40 years that still aren't mature. They've never bared fruit before. We love that person even enough that we are, you know, we don't want to condemn anybody. You know, but our heart is an indicator of where we are and where we're at. And you know that. And we all fall short of the glory of God. We do. We're not perfect. That's why we have to be careful every day. We have to be on guard, and we have to take care of our own walk, lest we stumble. We have to be paying attention. If we're worried about somebody else, we're liable to stumble. You know, I've said this before. I remember I used to go coon hunting. You know, when I was young, I used to love to go out at night and hunt. I loved it. And I know we got some coon hunters here, Jason and Kirk, he's around. You know, but I'd love to listen to the dogs, and sometimes I'd be running down a trail trying to catch a dog or something, you know, trying to get to the tree. And I'd take my eyes off of where I was just running, you know, as hard as I could. And sometimes I'd catch this little root or something on the trail, and boom, I'd go down. I can remember a couple times. I mean, I remember one time I fell, and it knocked the breath out of me. I was by myself. I was laying there on the ground, out of breath. I thought I was going to die. You know, and next thing you know, I got this dog licking me in the face. He's like, "What are you doing down there?" You know? And I mean, you know, but it's because I took my eyes off, my focus, eyes off of where I was running in darkness, see? But Jesus gives us a light. You know, if I'd had my light on, I'd been watching. Jesus gives us a light, and what's light do? The light expels all darkness. So we can see. Gives us a clear vision. I gotta get back on point here. You know, we have to love people enough that we are not condemning, but wanting to put that person back on the right path. Amen. That's what Paul's intentions were to the Corinthian church. Well, he wasn't writing letters to condemn them. He wasn't writing letters to tear them apart. He was saying, "Hey, listen, if you want to get back right with God, this is what you need to do. This is what I need you to do. You need to repent, first of all. You need to stop doing what you're doing. You need to stop it." He wasn't saying that to be critical or condemning. He was saying that, "I want you to be in a right relationship with God." Amen. Bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, I tell you, it's so important. If we read in Matthew 7, 15 and 20, again, it says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them," right? By their fruit. And in verse 19, it says, "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." Man, such an important scripture. What are people going to find when they look at your life? Amen?
Amen.
What are people going to find when they look at your life? You know, first impressions mean a lot, don't they? A lot of times I'm real awkward. I speak sometimes real awkwardly. Sometimes I ramble on. And if anybody knows me, you know I'm telling the truth. You'll say, my wife would tell you, amen. She had to work today. I'm sorry, she couldn't be here. But, you know, first impressions mean everything. Second impressions are even more important, right? Sometimes after the first impression, you'll never get a second impression. I've had a lot of dates that way before I met my wife. Yeah. We've been married 30 years. Praise the Lord. Amen. September be 31 years. I'm proud of that. I've fooled her that long. 60 years. That's awesome, isn't it? You know, the closer you get to a person and the better you get to know them, you discover that what they're all about. We have to build relationships. You know, that you find out maybe a person's not as loving or as sensitive or as kind or as smart as you first thought. And I say these things for the young people out there that are looking to date or looking for somebody to spend the rest of their life with. You need to get to know that person. You need to know who they are. Sometimes that takes a little time, but first impressions is not everything. Second impressions is not everything either, but you got to know their heart. It is possible for good behavior to hide bad qualities. Remember that, young ladies, young men, old ladies, old men, all of us. We need to all remember that. You know, but the longer you're around a person, a lot of times it's harder for them to hide who they really are. I know some of this is silliness, but it's truth, right? I'm just speaking the truth this morning. The Bible says, watch out for false prophets, wolves in sheep clothing, and lemons pretending to be peaches. Amen? That's why I say that. There's some people that's got other intentions than what your intentions are. You know, if you have an apple tree, what fruit should you have? I think apples, right? If you have a pear tree, what kind of fruit should you have? Pears. If you get grapes from a thorn bush or figs from a thistle, what do you do? That's weird, isn't it? It's questionable. What does Jesus mean by telling us to look at the fruit of a person? He's telling us to look at the conduct and the character and examine the conduct and character by their motives. Determining their motives. I'm telling you, you know, we'll see their hearts. That's the fruit that they bear. They see your heart by the fruit that you bear. That's my point. He says, you shall know them by the fruits. The good trees bring good fruits, and corrupt trees bring evil fruits. Every tree that doesn't bear good fruit, the Lord will cut down and cast into the fire, and not every one that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. That's what we read, right? You know, that's a powerful statement, isn't it? You know, we're looking at others to protect ourselves from being deceived. That's why it's so important that we pay attention to who we're around and examine their conduct, and because they can lead you into places. You know, when I was in the military, I was led to some places I probably should have never been and never would have been. But I was following somebody I shouldn't have been following. And next thing you know, you're in a place where you know in your heart you shouldn't be. I didn't examine close enough. I've been led astray before, and I know, am I alone? You've been led astray before? John 15, 1 and 2 says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may grow more fruit. The Lord wants fruit in our lives, and He prunes so that we might bear much fruit. You know, and it's plain and simple that we have to bear, you know, we have to be fruit inspectors, but we have to first look at our own lives that we are bearing fruit and that we continue to be on the true vine. Amen?
Amen.
You know, He will purge and He will purify and He will sanctify those branches that are bearing fruit so that they can be more productive. You know, I thought of this. I know, you know, Procter & Gamble over in Missouri, just across the river. You know, they make toilet paper. That's important, isn't it? It's important, right? And they have 1,000 employees or more that show up for work to make toilet paper. Seems small, right? But if all of them show up to work and don't make toilet paper, then what good is the business? Listen to me this morning. Jesus wants us to be productive fruit bearers. But if we just show up and we're not bearing fruit, then what good are we? What good would the business be in making toilet paper if they never make toilet paper? So what good is the church? What good is a church if they're showing up and going through the motions? They got the job. They're equipped with all the equipment that it takes to do the job, but yet they don't bear the fruit. They don't make the product. Then what good are they? For one thing, they're going to go bankrupt, right? We're in the fruit-bearing business. That's what we are. I don't know. I don't want to get off in the bushes here. I just know that if you plant a garden, and this just makes sense to every one of us here, if you plant a garden and you've got crops that grow, or you know, plants that grow up and they don't bear fruit, what are you going to do with them? That's what he's saying. You're going to get rid of them. Or you're going to prune them back so that they will bear fruit. This year, I want you to think about that in your life. I want you to think about that. Our job as believers is to stay connected with the vine and make sure that we're nurtured by the Lord and keep everything from pulling us off the vine that would cause us to die or not bear fruit. Jeremiah 24:7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. Some of us struggle every day because we are close to the vine but not connected to the vine. And if we don't soon get connected again, we'll die. And that's my point. Paul says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. You know, what separates us from those who know Christ and those who talk about it are this: circumstances. When the storms come and we demonstrate our true character, if we're inconsistent between the character of Christ and the character of the world, people see that. Gets us off our game. You can't almost follow Jesus. Hear me this morning. You can't almost follow Jesus. You're either a follower or you're not. You're either a fan and you sit in the stands and watch, or you're a follower and you play the game. I tell you, I would like for everyone to make that commitment today. This morning, right now, before you leave, I would want everyone to say, I'm not a fan. I'm a follower. I am who I say that I am. I'm authentic. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I know that I know that. And I want to share. I want to bear much fruit for the Lord. Amen. Will you make that commitment today? If you make that commitment today, say amen. 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 Let's pray. Let's stand for prayer.